and that we're up to. This summer is a very interesting series. We're actually a little bit in the middle of it already. Not all leaders are quite made the same. As there's a famous saying, which we will talk about, that says, Yiftach b'daro k'shmuel b'daro. That Yiftach, who we're about to learn about today, is treated with the same respect in his generation as Shmuel, who is clearly one of our greatest leaders, is treated in his generation. The Book of Shoftim is a study of different leaders, and we've come across some leaders that were excellent. Devorah was obviously one of our great leaders. As we see, we will come up to other people that will clearly be great leaders. However, yesh v'yesh, just like we have some better presidents and some worse presidents, we're not going to offer which falls on which list. Everybody can think in their mind how whatever they want, right? Prime ministers of Israel, they've been better, they've been worse. Again, keep it to yourself, whatever you might think about it, right? So too, when it came to leaders of the Jewish people, even at the time of Tanakh, there were better and there was worse. The last person we discussed was Gideon. Gideon, in many ways, was a great leader in terms of the fact that he took us from a very difficult, precarious position and led us to military victory and put Israel in a place of world power. On the other hand, ultimately, as we saw, Gideon, as an individual, didn't turn out that great. To a certain extent, it seems that he was somehow or another, directly or indirectly, responsible for Avodah Zarah, for the people of Israel doing idol worship. And his next of kin didn't really turn out that great either. So that's one case we begin. He's a case of a flawed leader. And he was a leader. In many ways he was great, but he definitely had his flaws. The next leader which we are going to discuss is Yiftach. Yiftach, again, in terms of leadership, in terms of military victory, he will again be a great leader. However, as an individual, he will undoubtedly show great flaws. Who is this fellow, Yiftach? Let's start in Perek Yud Aleph. This is a Haftorah we're going to be reading pretty soon. In Chukas, we'll see why. It says, V'yiftach ha-gilad ha-yo gibor chayil, hu en ish zona v'yobad gilad es Yiftach. Very interesting introduction we have to this fellow. On the one here, he's a gibor chayil. He's a great man, They refer to him here as a man of valor, as in the husband of the Eshus Chayil. Right. On the other hand, we find out more than TMI, more than we wanted to know about his background. We know that his mother was a Zona. The way we traditionally translate the word Zona is a harlot, prostitute, etc. Why do they have to share this with us?
Right.
Most leaders, what did Gideon's mother do for a living? Right? What did Ohad's mother do for a living? What did Devorah's mother do for a living? Right? We don't know if they were stay-at-home moms or if they were teachers or if they were day traders. We have no indication of what they did. Perhaps they were an Indian chief. I have no way of knowing. I don't know their names. Somehow or another, it becomes important to tell me that his mother was a Zona. Now, therefore, the Rishonim realized that this is just to say, but as an FYI, this is where he is coming from. So it could be, we should just expect less out of him, because, you know, he wasn't coming from a family that exhibited the greatest of morals. But there are other possibilities as well. If you look at the Radak, again, this is not the first Zona we've had in Nach. Who was the first Zona we met in the Navi? What? Not Navi, right. Rachav, right? So Rachav, right, from Yericho, she was a Zona. What does that mean? So if we look at the Radak, if you remember the word Zona, we usually think of the word Zenus, but also the word Zona could potentially come from the word Mizonos, right? It could come from the word that maybe she produced.
Provider.
So the Radak says, Ben Isha Zona, Ben Pilegesh. The first thing he offers is maybe she was a concubine. What is a concubine? A concubine is an interesting sort of relationship. In general, when a man gets married, he has a chuppah and kiddushin. Not only does he give the woman a ring, but she also gets a ksuba, meaning that she has certain rights, that in the event that the husband thinks that this marriage isn't working anymore, he can't just walk out on the marriage, but rather there are payments that have to be made. There are certain rights that the woman has. In the case of a concubine, there is a ceremony, but there is no ksuba, meaning that it's more of a, what we would call an at-will relationship, I think a labor lawyer would call it, meaning that either party can walk away from it at any time. So one possibility is that it's not really the full level of marriage. Yes?
What modern times, the hippies started, where you live together for a meaningful relationship. Which meant you didn't get
right, so here they did get married. Thank you for clarifying for those of us who didn't understand. I'm very, very informative, Marcia, as always. But so one possibility, it wasn't that she was actually a prostitute, but rather this is a matter of what? That she was sort of
an Ashes Ish.
So a Pelesh is considered an Ashes Ish. Now, we will go into it some, but we mentioned it a little bit actually in Gino. We spoke of the idea of, so why don't all guys do this, right? If there really is a shidduch crisis and there are more guys than girls and they really have the advantage, so why not save money on the ksuba? Why not take advantage of this? Among the many answers that one could offer to that excellent question is the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam says that only a king is allowed to have a pilegesh, right? Not any old person can have a pilegesh. This isn't something that always works. In the early 90s, there was a movement to bring back the pilegesh. Why would you want to do that? So there was a bunch of people who are absolute wackos, and I say this knowing full well that this is going on online. Well, being that it's going online, I'm trying to hold back a little bit. And they thought that it would be a good idea in order to save marriages. So sometimes a husband isn't getting fulfillment in his marriage. So if we can offer him a second wife as well, right, rather than getting rid of the first and training up, he would be able to remain married.
So people actually have gone through it. I met someone who told us he had a...
Yeah, so I haven't been to Utah yet myself. But I think among Jewish people, we don't do this.
No.
So, but this,
not.
We'll see that if that is what the word zona means, right? If that is what it means, then that will be relevant very soon.
Excuse me.
Yes.
So why do we always go to to name her as a harlot? Although that may not be the real.
You're saying that if she was a pilegesh, why not say she's a pilegesh?
Or a concubine. You know.
Right, which is the same thing.
I'm
language.
Just saying.
Right.
It's a rough way to identify.
Correct. It's definitely not the elegant way of saying
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
On the other hand, Zona didn't have the bad implication that it does today.
What do you base that on?
It was
some of my best friends.
That was there. Right. It was a fine profession.
That's
right. She's a professional.
Right. Fine, my dear.
I think it had his
mother. So what does your daughter want to do for a living? No, I don't see that. Right? So again, that's one thing. But who kamo zona? That's one thing. But afa pishim yuchedus lo. Okay, that's one. But yesh, if you look at the Yonasan tier game, the Targum says, punda kisa. A punda kisa means, once again, she was an innkeeper. Kamoshi Tira Gam King Rachav, as he said, we said that there as well. Oshu Inyan Ba'aswa Kiyazonu Pukadishim if Keras Atma. Or maybe it really means what it means. So the Radak offers three possibilities what the word Zona means. Does it mean that she was a concubine? Possibility number one. What? Was she an innkeeper or is she what we think it is? That is the third possibility. Rabbeinu Bachya offers a fourth possibility. And his possibility is actually a very interesting one. Rabbeinu Bachya says as follows, I'll just do it outside to save some time, that in general, at the when we first got the land of Israel, so the land was divided among the tribes. And when a man passed on, his plot of land, the family plot, would go on to the next generation. His son would have it and would stay within the tribe. This, of course, would become a problem in the very odd case of a person who only has daughters, right? As we know from the Benos Slavchad, right, that oddball with the five daughters, what happened was that his daughters made the case, and they were correct, that they in fact inherited his land. And then the tribe came forward and said, well, that's not fair. Right? Tzlofchad was from the tribe of Menashe. Right? If they go and his daughter marries a fellow from Reuven or from Ephraim, or from
will go to that
the Nach, right? All of a sudden, a piece of Menashe is going to go missing. Right? So therefore, if you remember, in the Chumash, they said for that generation,
they have to marry in the old tribe.
But that was only for them. At this point, it's different. So therefore, in the event that somebody would only have daughters, then that would pass on. He said that, in fact, what was going on here was his mother was a woman who did not have brothers. She
Who's his mother? Who's
Yiftach's mother.
Got it.
The woman in question.
Yep.
She, in fact, did not have brothers. So she inherited a piece of the tribe, and she married outside of the tribe. And because of that, she was responsible... She was responsible for part of the tribe going out.
So that's right? What they called her, Zona?
Right. So therefore, they called her a Zona because of that, because she, her through her relationship, she in fact lost part of the tribe. Right? That is the... Now, again, it does not necessarily fit neatly into the word, but it fits neater into the story itself.
I was going to say, but in any event, why is it necessary...
So we'll see. Let's read on.
And
we'll,
do we know what tribe Yiftach is from?
Well, we know he's from Gilad.
Right.
Right, so Gilad is the Transjordan.
Ah.
Right? So that limits it.
Yeah.
Two and a half tribes.
So two tribes.
Right. Vatelet Eshes Gilad. So again, so Yiftach is a Giladi. Right? And Gilad, together with the Zona, gives birth to Yiftach. Vatevet Ishes Gilad lo badim, vayigadlu b'nei Ishe, vayigarshu as Yiftach, vayomlo, lo timcho b'veis avinu, ki ven Ishe acheres ata. So Gilad has Yiftach's mother, and then he marries another woman. And at the time, when they're talking about inheritance, they said, Yiftach, get out of here. You're not from our mother. You don't have a right to inherit. Vayivrach Yiftach mibnei Echa, vayishav eretz tov, vayisrach tu el Yiftach harashim reikim vayitzu imo. So he had this very difficult childhood. He was thrown out of the house because of his mother's status. Right? And now he's going off and he's living in this other area, the land of Tov.
Does that mean now he's outside of Israel?
No, he's in Israel, but he's outside of it seems the main population center, and he gets together with with a sort of an unsavory bunch. Now, in the event that there was a concern that his mother was from a different shevet or something, that would perhaps explain to us why they're trying to push him out, right? Or if they're saying that you're the son of a concubine, you don't have a right to inherit, that also might make sense. Now, does the child of a concubine have a right to inherit?
I think so.
Yes, so tell me a little bit about Yishmael.
Isn't it like if you called him
Benal? Oh, so that's
well, God
so it's
inherit.
A good, it's interesting, right? What Jenny is saying is as follows. On the one hand, I get up and I tell you that Abraham has children from Sarah, and Abraham has children from Hagar, and the child from Sarah inherits, and the child from Hagar does not inherit, indicating that only full wives, their children inherit. You, of course, could turn this around, that'd be quite easily if you wanted to, and say,
God
gave
him. You're thinking too hard. You're thinking too hard.
Well, but God gives.
What about Yaakov's children?
Some of them are from Mishpachot, but they got land.
There you go. That's exactly the point.
Right. I miss
but,
it.
But later in Purim,
they're all wives. No, they're all real wives.
Everybody up here like Jim. Why? Yeah.
But later on, they're called Eshet
Yaakov. At the time of the birth, okay. Right? They were concubines. whether there was marriage later. There's not, it doesn't clearly say. So, and in fact, after they're born, right, when they go to Esav, two of the wives are referred to as wives, and two of them are referred to concubines. So Jenny is telling me, yeah, but what about Hammurabi? So Hammurabi discusses this issue. Those of you who are familiar, I'm sure you get cases regarding the code all the time. In the Hammurabi's code, when discussing whether this child of a concubine inherits, it says it depends on whether or not the father refers to the child as a son. If he does refer to the child of the concubine as a son, then the son has a right to inherit. If he is not referred to that way, he does not inherit. So they point out that Yishmael is never referred to as a son, as opposed to the other ones are, in fact, referred to as sons in the Chumash. So it's an interesting point that people make based on that. Rabbi Yehuda Landi makes that point. I don't know if I feel familiar to Rabbi Yehuda Landi. Yehuda Landi is a wonderful Talmud Chacham. He recently came out with a book on Yirmiyahu. It just came out in English by Feldheim last week. He's having a book tour, and he said he wanted to stop in Denver along the way. He said he's going to be here around July 11th. I thought I'd love him to come, but that's a little bit of a busy time for us because we already have some Rosenzweig coming through that weekend. If we can work it out a different time, that would be better. So the fact that there is a question whether a child of a concubine inherits, so therefore it would make sense that you're telling me that his mother is a concubine. And that might be the reason they're chasing him off. Right? His mother is somebody from a different tribe, and if he's going to get, and whatever land goes to her goes off to a different tribe, then why do they want him out of the inheritance? There's what to talk about.
But tribal identity goes through the father, not the mother, so...
Right.
The land would not be...
Well, again, the idea was she brought in land from a different tribe, and they don't want it to go back. Right, at this point, it wouldn't go back. But somehow or another, that seems to be tainted or funny. Well, because again, it could be that he inherits, what happens is he's going to inherit from his mother and from the father. He's going to have from both tribes. And they're only going to inherit from the father.
So he's a lucky kid.
Well, until anyone runs him out of town.
Exactly.
So again, what everyone's trying to do here, the reason we're not just announcing, by the way, she's a prostitute, is because that really wouldn't be relevant to why you try. By somehow the fact that she might be an innkeeper also isn't that helpful. But that doesn't really answer that. Right? But just by Rachel, so that's a matter of translation. These other ideas that somehow it has to do with the transferring of title or the like, or the fact that she's a concubine, that in fact does fit better into the ongoing story.
It gives her a little more status than a prostitute.
Right. Again, whether she has status or not, it's not about her. Right. Right. The question is, why all of a sudden do all the brothers turn against her? There's a very interesting Chuvas Harashba here. Someone asked this question, and you got to believe this never really happened. This was just a setup. So Chuvas wrote, Misha Nasa Isha Bekidushin V'chub V'ksuva. A man goes and he marries a woman. U'meisav Nasa Isha Bekidushin Levad. Then he goes and he marries a second woman after his first wife dies. Right? And the second one does not get a ksuba, and then the man dies. And he had children with both wives. And the ones from the first wife say, nah, our mother was really married. So we get the Yerusha, and your mother was just a concubine, so you're not going to get a Yerusha. And by the way, unrelated, just a second question. And what's Pshat in the story of Yiftach when they weren't going to let him inherit? So one has to believe that these were not two unrelated questions. This was the first question was probably a setup, right, for the second one. So the Rashba says, it doesn't make a difference. I didn't even b'nei hashniyah, but yarshim heinus b'nei rishona. It doesn't matter And what if she wasn't married at all? Right? What if the child was born out of wedlock? Does a child who's born out of wedlock have a right to inherit the father? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Right. I don't know if I can translate everything. but he said that no matter what the status between the mother and the father was. So, okay. So, therefore, he said this obviously isn't the answer. So, umash amro echo yiftach al tincho bevei savino ki ben isha acheres ata efshir shalom bin aden amro kei. Who said that was based on anything? They were just a bunch of nasty fellows. They're just trying to get more for themselves. Elisha, you talk to the men of Bimakoma. The Dach was of the Chosagel. They just threw him out. So that's what happened here. So the bottom line is what we know about Yiftach is he had a difficult upbringing. Right? His mother's status was perhaps questionable. And definitely he was rejected by his half-brothers. Right? And no one stood up to protect him.
Maybe that's why the information about his lineage is important. It's just to emphasize that he pulled himself up by his bootstraps and, you know, he exceeded his background.
I like that. That's very nice.
Yeah. No, I mean, we also need to draw a chart about the lineage of Malchus based others, and we make exactly the same point.
Right, yeah, he's definitely coming from a difficult place. And whether the difficulty was the fact that he had yichus issues, or his yichus was fine, but he just had issues that people had turned against him and no one had stood up for him, one way or the other, he finds himself sort of on the street. Right? Because he's living with people that are like him, that
and
the dregs of society.
He falls in with bad guys. Yes.
Right.
I think the fact that the safer tells us this information, shows us that Yiftach himself was not such a great tzaddik, because he did not attract a midah chachomim, a resident professor. In fact, it's some bump, anashim reikim,
he was. He found himself in a difficult situation, and he took a leadership position.
Yeah.
So this is Yiftach. Now, whatever he did it well. It seems that he might have been.
It sounds like he had a strong personality.
Well, again, he might have been the head of the mafia, but sometimes you can use the head of the mafia. Okay. Vayehi miyamim, vayilachu b'nei Amonim Yisrael. Okay, now, time passes, and Amon is attacking b'nei Yisrael. Vayehi kashen yochav b'nei Amonim Yisrael, vayehi zikrei gira, rakach zikitach me'er stov. Now you need someone to be a military leader. Could be that the head of the mafia is not the worst guy for this job. Right? They don't need someone with the strongest moral compass necessarily. They need someone with the strongest right arm. So they go and they say to him, "Have you ever thought about going into politics?" We want you to be our general. We want you to lead us. I just put quickly in number four that this Eretz Tov, where was it? Right, the land of good. So it seems that it was quasi in Israel, half in Israel, half out of Israel. It says it's someplace on the border, which again, when there are certain areas we discussed like this, which aren't part of Israel proper, but they get treated like Israel for certain reasons. Right, Steve?
What does it mean, Susita?
That's the name of the city, Susita.
Like the car.
Okay.
Like Susia? I mean,
right? Does it mean that it's potter mina maisrus, that technically, well, you did not have to tithe the produce which grew there, that's not really part of the land. So he's in Gaulus, right? He's been pushed out. Now they'd like to bring him back. They said, "We're offering you the job as general." So Yiftach says, "Really? Come on, who are we kidding you? You hated me, you threw me out, right? You didn't defend me, and now you're in Gehak the Tsaris, and now you turn to me. He said, "Yeah, we understand that. We feel bad about it. So here's the offer. If you help us out here, not only will we accept you back, but we'll put you in charge of the entire Gilad. Right? The entire area, all us do it, we accept you. So Yiftach says, good start, but not enough. Vayomer Yiftach al Ziknei Gilad, im Mishivim atem osim l'lachem b'vnei Amon, v'nasa noy osam lefonayv, anochi yarechem l'rosh. Says, okay, if that happens, right, and God is supporting me, nice way of putting it, I will in fact be a leader. Vayomer Ziknei Gilad Yiftach, anoy yeshamei b'noseinu v'imro kidvarachar kein na'aseh. Absolutely. So those psukim were a little bit redundant. They said, if you come and you will be our general, we'll make you in charge. He said, so let me get this straight. If I'm the general, I win. I'm going to be in charge? And they said, yes. If you're the general and you win, then you're in charge. What did that add to the story?
Well, that he'll remain in charge even after the.
Well, that was war. Wasn't that the initial one?
He's just clarifying.
Right. So why did we need this? So if you look at the Sichas Moser makes it has an interesting point. He said, "Was this a matter?" So why was he so insistent? Simple reading. What these last psukim does this. Is this a plus or minus for his personality?
I think it's a plus. I think he's trying to say, look, if I come back and do this, the other thing that you're not saying, and I don't know what the commentary is going to say, but he then says, before God. I mean, I think that's an interesting.
Right, no, we pointed that out. He said, if God saves us, right? That was definitely a plus.
Okay.
But the idea that he's
has to repeat it as though he didn't trust him the first time.
Yeah.
So I think it's a minus.
Well,
Let me make sure about it.
So trustworthy.
But he didn't trust him the first time for a good reason.
Well, let's think of it this way. Does he value leadership?
I think so.
Clearly, right? Clearly.
Yeah.
Is that coming from a good place? Or is this an ego?
It's hard to say, but
sounds like an ego.
Seems ego.
Right?
So I think you can't. I don't know that you can tell.
Depends
from the text.
Only help you if you'll make me a leader.
Right.
Like
well, he is a leader. That's what they're.
No, he's from. Not. He's, at this point, he's a leader of
they're coming to.
He's
I mean,
a leader on the streets.
I get that, but they didn't have to come to him. They did.
Right. So it seems though that he's a person who is. We would say, if I wanted to put it harshly, a rodef kavod. He's chasing honor. He wants leadership.
But he recognized that any victory would come from God.
Correct.
Wait a minute. He was driven out. Why should he trust them? I think he's like trying.
But the idea is, again, when Shaul, we haven't met Shaul yet, but when Shaul becomes, they go to make him anointed as king, what does he do?
He hides
with the baggage, right?
Right. Right. No one here but us luggage. Keep on moving. Nothing to see.
Right, which should have tipped us off to
right?
the start.
So again, he's a person who clearly he wasn't interested in honor.
Correct.
Right?
Yiftach
is interested in it.
Okay.
Right?
Is that a bad thing? I mean, that's your question, and I'm saying I can't.
Right,
tell
we're trying to get a feeling for the personality. So it seems Mrs.
What?
What'd
you say? Shaul was praised for hiding with the luggage.
So the Sichus Moshe says this has nothing to do with him. In fact, he said the basic rule is you can't lead if people aren't following. If people don't trust in the leader, it's not going to work. So he said, he goes and he says, okay, where he is. V'drisha zushal yitzhar, she'ahisnei ma'em, imam. Lalechas lamelchama b'tnai shenu rosh aleihem ma'orer tmiya. He said, why was he so insistent, this idea that if I win, I have to be given the phone? He yiftach stam rodef achar kavodu? He was just interested in the honor? V'yisakish ech v'omar kein ma'ol hushikos v'yav yiftach is called dvar v'vnei Hashem mitzvah? If someone would have said, no, you're not my leader, he said, so fine, you could all go die. So he said, the answer is no. If he was someone who really wanted the honor, he wouldn't say, if God leads me to victory. If he would have been somebody who's feeling it, if I am victorious. If you accept me as a leader, if you trust in me, then I can lead you to victory. If you think
if this is
what we're going with, we're in big trouble, then in fact we are in big trouble.
I'll step aside.
Right. This is not going to work.
Right.
Okay, now we find out why this is the Haftarah Chukas, because we basically repeat a large part of the parsha. He says, let's try a diplomatic solution. He said, why are you attacking us? He said, listen, when you people came from Egypt, you remember, you come from Egypt, you took the southern pass, right? You went to a few different people in the south. You went to Moab, right? And you said, would you mind if we came through here? Right? You went to Edom, and they said no. Finally, you came in, you wiped us out, you took over our land. We would like it back now. It's rightfully ours. Give us our land back and we'll go home. So he said, okay, let me tell you what happened. No, in fact, we never took your land. Your history is wrong. We left Egypt, we went crossed over the Yam Suf, we were in Kadesh. So first we went to Edom. By Yishach Yisrael Malchim El Melech Edom Leimo Ever Number Aritzecha V'lo Shama Melech Edom V'gamu Melech Moab Shalach V'lo Oba V'yishiv Shol B'Kadesh. We said, Edom, would you mind if we pass through? We need to get to Israel. They said, yes, we would very much mind. How about you, Moab? Us too. We never entered any of those areas. We asked nicely, we were denied, we kept on going. This is all in Parshas Chukas, that's why it's the Haftarah. Then we said to Sichon, the king of the Amori, not you, but Sichon, not Amon, Emori, said, would you let us through? Lohem in Sichon es Yisrael avor b'gvulo, v'yesov Sichon es kol Amon, v'yachanu b'yotzo v'yilchem in Yisrael. Sichon said, no, and if you're going to make a big deal about it, we're going to fight. So we did fight against Sichon. We did take over the land. V'yitzen anoy elohe Yisrael es Sichon es kol Amon b'yad Yisrael, v'yakum v'yirash Yisrael es kol Eretz Amon, v'yoshev Eretz Ayin. We took over that whole area from Sichon, not from Amon. The entire Transjordan, we won at that point from Sichon and Og. Now, wait a second. So if that's the case, right? Who's telling the truth? Is that the way it happened? Right? Did we fight against Moab? No. Did we fight against Amon? No. We fought against Emori. So why is Amon bothering us about this?
This was their land originally.
Correct. Very good. It was their land originally. And what happened? They lost it to Sichon. And then we attacked Sichon. Right? Because we were not allowed to attack Moab or Amon. Why not? Because Amon and Moab are descendants of Lot, right? And Lot made a treaty with Abraham. So we were the Latu. If they were, but once they lost the land, then we had dibs. So yes, it was originally yours, but we never took it from you, right? Someone else took it from you, and then we took it from them. So, v'ata adonai ha'yisrael ha'orish ha'sohem ha'am ha'yisrael v'ata tirosheno. So in fact, God gave it to us, and now it's ours. Interesting pasuk coming up here. Chaf Dalet, 24. Halo eis asher yoshiach ha'kamosh ha'lehecha oso tirosh, v'eis asher ha'orish ha'noi ha'lehenu mi'paneinu oso mirosh. You have your God, we have our God. Your God is kamosh. Whatever Kamosh gives you is yours. Whatever God gives us is ours. What do you think about that statement?
We're gonna get more land. Okay, that's wonderful. I don't know who their Mishnah started, but we're gonna get it with our
God. Right, so the Meshach Chachma said, don't think that he's saying that we have a God and you have an equivalent God. He's just saying, according to your opinion, that you have a God and he's worth something, let him give you something.
He's speaking in terms they can understand.
Right. So he's not in any way admitting that they're
But
right.
I think this whole narrative speaks very well for you, Todd. It shows that this is punished for it.
Okay.
He's also trying to be diplomatic. So what? That stands well for him as well.
Now he keeps on going. He says, V'ata, tov, atami, balik ben tzipor, melech moav. Do you have a better chance of beating us than Balak did? Balak took us on, and then good for him. Why are you doing this? B'shem Yisrael b'ched b'vim noseh v'arev v'noseh v'chol arim asher ha'yidei arnon shosh me'el shanah madu ha'lo yitzaltem b'yisi. How long has it been, actually, since we took over the land?
300 years.
For 300 years, we never raised this issue. Why now? You look at Rashi, I'm not going to go through it, because one is getting late, two is because nobody likes numbers as much as I do, so therefore. But this happens to be an important pasuk, getting an idea of, we've mentioned at the beginning of Shoftim, Shoftim is very difficult to figure out when it happens.
Rashi gives you the whole
breakdown. Right, so that's why I put Rashi here goes through the math to give you an idea of how it all works out. Right? Whenever you get a number in these books, you jump on it. Rashi does whatever he can with it, because there are very few sources that really give us numbers that work. So anyone wants to do it on their own, or we can discuss it afterwards, but we're not going to spend the time here. We'll just note it. So it's been 300 years. 300 years. No one's ever complained about it. Why now? What did I ever do to start up with you? You've got an issue, something happened three centuries ago? And for this you're making me crazy? Right? You know the joke, Marsha, about a Jewish guy goes to the bar, gets drunk, punches an Oriental fellow in the mouth. What was that for? It's for Pearl Harbor.
You meant Asian.
What?
You meant Asian.
Oh, I meant Asian. Something in the line. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for telling me what I meant. So he says, but I'm Chinese. He says, I'm Chinese. Chinese, Japanese, all the same. And then a little later, the Chinese fellow gets drunk and he punches the Jew. He said, what was that for? He says, for the Titanic. Said the Titanic, that was an iceberg. He said, iceberg, Greenberg, Goldberg, all the time. Yep, that's definitely a rabbi joke. So he said to him, what are you starting up with me for? It's been 300 years, enough already. You're going to start up with me, God won't be happy. So he said, no. If you're not going to give it over, we're going to attack. Okay, so we've got a war. Chav Tes 29. Vayal Yiftach Ruach Adonai Vayavoras Gilad Ves Menashe Vayavoras Mitzvah Gilad and Mitzvah Gilad Avra Bnei Amon. So he goes all over the area and he recruits people, and he says as follows. They're important words. Vayida yifta neder adonai vayomar im naso and titein etz bnei amon miyadim. He takes an oath. He says, in the event that I am victorious, if Amon is given over my hands, v'hayah hayotzei asher yetzei medalsei beisi rekrasi b'shuvi b'shalom mibnei Amon v'hayah adonai v'risi ura'ola. The first thing that walks out of my door, I will give, bring that as a korban, as a sacrifice to God, to show how appreciative I am. Vayavor yiftach abnei Amon liyolchem bam vayitnei v'anabi yodo. This is a pretty quick war. Only takes two psukim, the whole war. Yep. Pasuk number one, God gave it over. Pasuk number two, vayakem ha'ar'ed arbo achar minis. Esrim Irvad Avil Kramim Makar Gedolim Ova Yikadu B'nei Mo B'nei B'nei Yisrael. That's it. He attacks them, wipes them out, takes 20 cities.
Good to go.
So you think 6 days is good? Two psukim, the whole thing's over. Done and done. Okay. What's going to happen now, Marsha?
Get the victory. Come through the door.
Spoiler alert.
Things get dark here.
Vayavo yiftach hamitzvah el beiso v'nei bito yotzeis lekroso v'supit mucholos v'rak hi yechida ein lo mimenu bein olas. His only child, his daughter, is the first thing out of the door to greet him. And of course she's not married, though.
By the way,
what
was he expecting, a cow to come out?
That's right.
Really?
I think so.
He was expecting his wife to come up. Get rid of her.
Medra says mother-in-law. Okay.
The first animal come out of the corral, I'll give as a coordinate.
Right.
Sure. I got him at the door of my house.
It's a weirdo.
Vayikir oso oso v'yikres v'gadda v'yomar ahaviti. Achreya hichratidi va'at hayis achri anochi patsisi fi avadonai v'ruch haroshot. He said, oh my goodness, I made an oath and I can't get out of it. Va'tomer elav avi patsisi es picha avadonai aseri kashe yotzo mipicha achreya asher aso v'cha adonai nikmas v'yavecha b'bnei Amon. So listen, whatever you, God was great to you, no matter what you promised, you've got to do it.
Wouldn't have this been grounds for to be matzah the neder?
No. So there's a lot of questions that we have to discuss here. That is definitely one of them. So as she says, you got to do what you got to do. Va'tomer elavia ya'aseri ha'davar zeh harpei mimeni shnayim chadashim ya'chovi yirati al ha'harim v'avkes besulai anochi ve'erei osai. He said, just give me 2 months, I will go down to the mountains, and I will cry over the fact that I was never married. I'll do this together with some of my friends. What an odd pasuk that is. How many odd things are in that pasuk?
How come we don't know about this custom?
Me and my friends are going to go to the mountain and cry for 2 months?
Well, again, in Denver, I don't think you have to be from Denver to realize you don't go down to mountains.
Right. You kind of go up to.
Right, you know, even if you...
Except you're feeling down.
It's also not a simple thing, just like, okay, great, I'm giving up.
And the issue of the fact that she's... What's going to happen after she comes back is the fact that she never got married. That's that's true also.
Right, but she's dead, exactly.
Which is to be suffering from an acute case of death.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
So she might
both
be
chronic and acute.
She might be going down.
Right, so the whole, like, I'm just going to go hang out with, this is some sort of bachelorette party.
It's weird.
Very, very odd request. 2 months? Vayomer lechi v'yishar so shnei chadashim v'atelach yivir yosea v'atevk al besulea al ha'harim. Again, this, why are you telling me they're doing this in the mountains? What does that have to do with anything? What?
Go with her and cry for 2 months in the mountain.
A really good friend. That's what friends are for. Good times and bad times, I'll be there for you forevermore. That's what friends are for. Okay? So, Vahimi Kate Shnayim Chadashim, Vatosha Velavia, Vayasla Es Nidro, Asher Nadar, Vihilo Yadai Ish Vatilchok, Vibir. Yisrael. And it was 2 months later, and he did what he promised, and she never did get married. Yeah. Miyamim yamima terach mebnoi Yisrael v'sanos v'vas yiftach yoli arvas yamim v'ashana. And because of that, from year to year, the Benos Yisrael would go up, and they would lament the daughter of Yiftach 4 days a year. So we've got problems here. We've got significant issues.
We've got trouble
right here, and it's not cool, as far as I can tell.
Exactly.
The issue that we have here is, so he killed her? Didn't someone tell him that human sacrifice is not really a thing?
Part of Judaism.
Judaism? Why didn't... So as Alex pointed out, you could have did Hataras Nedarim. Let me ask you a question. Let's say I would decide that my daughter should be brought as a carbon. And I refuse to do Hataras Nedarim. What would we do then?
We would not let you do this.
No, of course. And I went and I asked the Shiloh.
Good. Yeah. That's a step in the right direction.
And I said, here's the story. You know, I something great happened. I said, in the event that the Yankees homer 28 games in a row, like Gematria Koach, I will go and I will offer my daughter as a carbon. And it happens. And of course, I have great hakaras tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu
to offer Jenny. Yeah.
You know. So I say, would they allow me to do it?
Depends which daughter.
Let's say I took a netter. Let's say I took a netter that if this happens, I'll go and I'll eat chazer for dinner tonight. Would they let me do that?
Not as simple.
Because you already took a netter to be Mekabel Torah.
Right. So if I took it, forget eating chazer, I'm going to go kill somebody.
You already took a netter not to kill anybody.
Right. And if the person was a close relative of mine, would that make it better?
No.
it's all bad.
Right, so again, if Yiftach came to me and said, think about this, Hataras Nedarim, I would tell him, don't save your breath. The nether wasn't chal, right? You can have a nether. Let's take another thing. So forget the fact that I can't take another kill somebody. Let's say a pig would have run out the door. I can't do human sacrifice. What? She was poor and she had saras. Get him all right?
You know, if this promise was made...
Correct, it was the last one. We've now collected the full set.
If he made this kind of netter promise, the Farhesia, and the winning of this war really was miraculous in that it took only 2 psukim.
Smart.
Maybe we were afraid that they'd say, look, here, God did this great miracle for him, and then he didn't live up to his promise.
So
maybe
there
was, no, I'm just saying, it could have been some social pressure.
Right? What? Because all the cool kids are sacrificing their daughters.
Oh, yeah. It's an inappropriate oath to make.
Right.
From the get-go. Where was his head, kind of thing?
Right, but he never made an oath that he was
He said the first thing comes
daughter.
Out of the door.
The first thing that came out, it just, he was so... dim-witted that it didn't occur to him that it might be his daughter.
Right. And then
he was crestfallen when she came out the door.
Right. I will note that does it say that he killed her?
No.
No, but she says
she's ready.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Right. It doesn't come out and say with that off with her head.
Right, that he burned her up.
Right.
Say that.
So let's take a look. So I give you a longer source than usual. Right? The Medrash takes this on. Ish ki yafli. Okay? So it's talking, this is in Parshas Bechu. Kosai was talking about offering the Nedarim, if you remember. So it says, Pri tzadik etchai mokeach nefashos chacham. A pasuk from Proverbs, from Mishlei. Zeh Torah, shemitokshu ben Torah, hu lo meir hech lokeach nefashos. If you know your Torah, you don't kill people. Now, this is talking about Yiftach. because he never learned the Torah, he ended up killing his daughter. Amasai, what's his name? B'shash Nilcham in B'nei Amon, B'nada. At the time before he gets this Amon, he took a oath. Shinem Rav Yida Yestav Nezra Hashem. B'haya HaYotze, etc. Wherever comes up. Osa Shah, Kasa Lava Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, what? What did you just say? Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ilo Yotze mi beso kelev o chazir o gamal yakiv o panay? What if it be a dog? Would he kill a dog? God forbid.
Right, Marsha?
Right?
Better believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, Zimel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bito. He said, here, look what's going to walk out. Now what are you going to do? Shinema Vine Bito Yeltsis Likroso, Vahikir Oso Oso, Velo Pinchas HaYosham. So, okay, so he was an idiot. Get it. That wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. But Pinchas, a little PTSD. But why did Pinchas tell him no? Pinchas was a Kohen Gadol. Why did he say we don't do
step
that?
Up?
Right. Omer lo ocha lo shuv. Ela Pinchas omer ani Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol ashpil atzmi ve'elach etzol am aretz. He said, I'm Pinchas. I am Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron. I'm a Kohen Gadol, my father was, my grandfather was. I'm going to go talk to this Schmeiger?
That's not exactly, that makes no sense. Aaron, the whole concept was, he was Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. He, right. He ran to people.
As we say in Ladino, Pinchas
was a
Kanoi. What?
Pinchas is a Kanoi.
That's for sure.
You would assume he would want to make sure the right thing is
exactly.
done and not something as outrageous as
this. Right.
This
that's
right.
what I'm saying.
No, he said, in fact, we should do Hatarash Nadarim, but Yiftach should come to me.
Doesn't sound.
Yiftach, I need Rosh Shiftei Yisrael. I'm the king. Rosh HaKatsinim. The Brigadier General. Ashpil Azvi Echa Yitzel Hedget. I'm going to go to the Kohen Gadol.
Civilian.
Mibain Shem Avda Ahu Aluva. Because these two guys couldn't work it out, the daughter was lost. Bishneim Neschaivu Bin Dameha. And they both had to pay for it. Pinchas Nistakim Menu Ruach HaKodesh. Pinchas lost Ruach HaKodesh. And Yiftach, what happened to him? Nispazu Atzmosov. He lost all of his limbs. Seems to have some sort of a leprosy where he used to lose parts of his body.
Is anyone able to overrule the coin? Gadol?
Oh. That's the question. Could you maybe help us out here a little bit? So it seems that, in fact, she did go and said, Dad, you think this is really appropriate that you should kill me? Well, Ksiv, Adam ki yakim yichem karmam Hashem, mina behema mina bakar, mina tzom.
He said to his father, hey, Dad, you think really it's appropriate you should kill me?
So he says, mina behema v'olvim b'nei Adam. He said, it doesn't it say in the Torah, you're supposed to give animals, not people. I'm a lot, biti nadati, raya yotzi. Yeah. But I took an edit. What am I going to do? More Yaakov Avinu, shenadar kol she'atita li'aser asher mechach. Yaakov Avinu said, whatever you give me, God, I'm going to give you 10%. You know, he had 10 sons. So maybe he should have killed one of his sons. Because he also took an edit, Dad. He didn't see Yaakov offing one of his sons because 10% goes back. When Chana says, you give me a son, he'll be for yours, for you.
Haley.
She didn't kill him.
So what, she had Ruach HaKodesh?
Right. That's there's a reason why it's in brackets. Right? Chronologically, that's a little difficult to understand. Called Dvar Meila Amrulo, below Shavaleh. He said, no, sorry. I'm a man of my word.
This is hard because, for example, by Avram, when he takes Yitzchak, Rakedas Yitzchak, I granted he has, what's it called, but then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and sends the Malach last minute to save. So shouldn't the same thing have happened here?
Well, we're not done with the source here. So he says...
Spoiler alert, sorry.
So she said, how about I ask a Shiloh? How about I ask a shadow? Of course, you're making great sense, Dad, but maybe there's another opinion out there. So she says, give me 2 months. She's not saying, I want to go to the mountains. I want to go to the high ones. So, do people go down to the mountains? Hurry, all the malaharim. You go up to the mountains. I'm going to go down to visit the Sanhedrin, to the great ones. They say, nothing we can do to get out of it. This shouldn't be so hard.
Is this the Sanhedrin?
Especially since he said, first thing he comes out of my door, had he known.
Well, but I think I would be more legal. But all of them, I mean, we got Jerry out of the Gavrox thing, so we can do this easily. Oh, what about Kostov? Gever Rashva, Osek Dalim, Matasochi Vein Lechem. Gever Rashva, Yitzhak Shoyi Rash B'Torah. As the Pasuk says, he had this one guy, he does a Grufish al Shikva Haya, Oshek Davim Shah Haya, Oshek Asadal, Shah Omer Omer Shibolas, Omer Shibolas. That's the next part. Vaya Shokhta, Lafikha, Mater Sochi, Vain Lechem, Shah Haya, Rob Mishi Yatis Nidro, Al Vain Lechem, Shahem Akash Bachu, Mehem Asal Lacha, Shah Yunso Pesa Ratis Nidro.
Can you translate?
Basically, it's saying that God made them make a mistake. God covered it up for them, they wouldn't know what to do.
So that everybody made a mistake, and God covers that.
Right, God said, I don't want him to get out of this. I want him to pay for this. Kevin Shalom Matzu Pesach Rahatas Nidra Allah Vishachtar of Ne'er Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash is very clear what happened. He killed her. God says, do you think this is what I really wanted? I never commanded this, I never said this, I never even thought of this. I didn't tell Avram to kill his son. I said, don't do it. I wanted to show that he would do it. I never wanted it, I was just making a point. There'll be a third case later on, we'll see. So in fact, the Medrash is very clear that she was killed. The Radak has a different approach. The Radak says, Vayasal Nidra Shenadar, he does, as he swore, the Radak points out, he never, the Pasuk doesn't say she was killed.
Sends her away.
She was sent away. She was sent to live on her own. And therefore,
that makes sense why she explains about not being married.
Right. That fits in with that much better. Yeah. So that she, according to this, she wasn't killed. She was just sent away. That he, in fact, never saw any grandchildren. Right? This was the end of his lineage, but not that she was actually killed. No one would be that crazy. The Ramban actually deals with this as well. So the big question is, was he really that dumb? Right? This Yiftach fellow, I mean, okay, I get it. You know, he's not the biggest Talmud Chacham. But at the beginning, he really was coming, right? He said, it's God who leads me. The idea of the nether, right? Smart it wasn't, but spiritual it was. Right? You don't look at this as a total negative. Right? He wanted to show appreciation
right,
to God.
He's saying, I want to give thanks. If I'm victorious,
correct.
I want to
correct.
Give thanks.
He did not go about it.
I didn't do this all by myself. I had help.
Right. So, how can he be this far off? That's what the Ramban wants to know. He said that there is something different when it comes to a king. He said when a king goes and makes a demand, if you don't listen to the king, if you don't listen to the general, you're put to death for that. as we will see going forward in Navi, right, in Shmuel Beis, for example, spoiler alert, Uriah is killed for not listening to David. Right? In Malachim, Shimi ben Gera gets killed for not listening to Shlomo. Right? In Shmuel Aleph, we had the almost case of Yonasan, right, Shaul killing his son for not listening to what he said. So he thought that once there is something that is said by the king, it will happen. Well, again, we see him as a shofet. Right? I believe that on Shavuos, in the second of Shavuos, there was a talk about the difference between the shoftim and the din. So, but there are similarities as well. He thought no matter what he said would work. No, it works only because it's when you do it because you can't have rebellions. But there's no possibility that he would be rebelling against himself. There's no rule that he has to listen to everything that he says. So therefore, he said, that in fact, so let's say I would turn around and I say, this pig, I want to give it to the Beis HaMikdash. What happens?
Thank you, but no thank you.
So what happens is, obviously I can't give it as a carbon.
The value.
But I should give the value.
Cash.
I should make a donation. So perhaps, should he have made a donation of the value of his daughter?
That would
have
been good.
Right? So he says, no, not even that. This was so off that he owed nothing from it. Baltia nifta behevla yurgulaza oma ki pirish eliseo oma. He said, well, how does it work here? This idea that according to the opinion that we quoted from the Radak, that she wasn't actually killed. Why not? So how does this make anyone happy? Right, if you're supposed to kill her, kill her. If you're not supposed to kill her, go home. What is this compromise? So you see, this is sort of the Shmuel compromise, right? When Chana says, my son, I will give it to God, so what does Shmuel do?
He's dedicated to
yeah. Right, so too he said that this, that's it. Well, he said, I am going to give her over. So perhaps he means the same way. He gave her over that she spend her life in tefillah, etc., and spiritual growth removed from the physical world. Ramban said, not happening. Not true. He said, not that he said that's going on. He said, that's nonsense. Ki im nader sheyia Hashem einav sheyia parish, aval yia kamo Shmuel shomer imol v'nasatir Hashem v'hoyim meshoris b'vesem lo parish. Even in the case of Shmuel, he wasn't cast away from society. He was intimately involved. He became a leader.
Yes.
V'fi mishpatei Torah ein biyada adam sheyida b'yotzei Pesach b'esu yeprushim. How could he possibly have said that she's going to be not part of society? So this is what they were crying about. I'm living a good life. I'm just upset that I'm never going to have relations with a man. That's not appropriate to be reporting in the Navi. Why would everyone be so sad? Oh, the poor woman. She spends her whole life worshiping God, and therefore we have to sit shiv on her. So he said, I can't accept this. Avo hadavar kshuto, the tosami masha amarti. He said, the bottom line is he killed her, the Ramban says. The bottom line is he killed her, and he was dead wrong, however it happened. So, we have Yiftach. Is Yiftach a great leader?
A general.
Great military leader. Is he a great human being? I think we can safely call him flawed. We will continue with the story of Yiftach next week. We're not done with him yet.